We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air. And we have a special surprise for this week's show. We've got another dad on the air. We've got Ken Thompson, and he'll be speaking to an old friend of his from the Netherlands, Benjamin Wunderhem, who is a police officer in the Netherlands, and he's got a lot of experience in this area. So without further ado, I'll hand you over to Ken.
Thanks, Bill. As you said, Benjamin and I met in 2010 in the Netherlands, and we've maintained close contact since then. And regular listeners to you to the program would perhaps remember Benjamin doing an interview on this program about 3 years ago, where he was talking about some research he was doing at that time into police policy. Well, Benjamin's back in Australia again, and this time he would like to talk to us about some really exciting work that's happening in the Netherlands at the moment in terms of research. Welcome, Benjamin.
Yeah, thank you, Bill and Ken. Thank you for the invitation to be here in the studio. And I would like to tell about my experience in the Father Information Center, where I'm working with, and maybe I can give a little update about my personal situation later.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about the Father Information Center when you were here last time. It's a really exciting concept, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about the focus of that organization.
Yes, the Father Information Center, and we call it a Father Knowledge Center in Holland, if I translate it directly, but it's focused on disclosure of information and knowledge that contribute to the role of both parents in the upbringing of and the care and education of children in estimating value and with government and support public policies in a manner of commitment and involvement of both parents in children's justice.
It sounds like a really interesting concept, but it must cost a lot of money to run something like that. How does the father the Father Information Center raise its funds?
A lot of this is volunteer work of the members in it, and but beside that we have the Bernard van Leer Foundation. With made it, they are funding us, and they made it possible to set up a chair of academic teaching and doing research.
I understand that that's probably the first chair in father knowledge in the world. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think also that's the first chair in the world that at least we know of, and so that's really special. Renske Keizer was recently appointed a professor of the fatherhood at the University of Amsterdam last October, and the family she's a family sociologist was already associated professor in Rotterdam.
I understand that there's some similar work being done in Australia. Are you aware of any connections between what's happening in the Netherlands and work that's being done in Australia?
We know there is a researcher, Richard Fletcher, from the University of Newcastle. He do a lot of work, I think, in research in this direction, at least. And it would be very interesting when there would be more cooperation on that level between Holland and Australia.
It sounds like a really exciting role that's been created. And perhaps we might be able to contact Richard Fletcher at the University of Newcastle and see if he would like to come onto this program and maybe talk about some collaboration between the two universities.
Yeah, sure. That would be very interesting also for us.
Could you tell us a little bit about the platform of European Fathers as well, which I understand the Knowledge Centre is part of?
Yeah, there are a lot of countries in Europe. They have also a similar kind of Father Information Centre, and they are united now in a platform of the European Fathers.
Do they bring the different Father Information Centres together, the people who have interest in this topic? Do they get together from time to time and share information?
Yes, they do. They do, and Peter Tromp, our first man, I should say. He's a member of this platform and spent a lot of time also in arranging it all and come together now and then.
I understand there's a symposium held each year in Europe as well.
Yes, every year, and we do it on the first on the Father's Day, and in Holland that's the end of June. And I understood that in Australia it's in September.
That's correct.
Early yeah. September, and on that day we have a symposium normally in Amsterdam, and there we have different speakers, and we also have the Father Day's trophy. And we award a person or organization who has made an outstanding contribution to fathers' inclusive policy that year.
That's really interesting, Benjamin. Can you tell us a little bit about your role with the Fathers Information Center?
Personally, I'm within the Father Knowledge Center, primarily engaged in advising fathers and also mothers around questionnaires they have about family law issues when they in a divorce or when they have other problems around the other parent who leaves the house with the child and does not want this parent to be involved in parenting anymore. They very often face the shortcomings of the family law or the criminal law, and we can listen to their stories and give advice, but we are not lawyers. So and sometimes it's enough to listen to the people, but other times we spend a lot of time advising them, help them to find their way in the system, or to for example complain on the right spot. And but the advice can also be stop the sinless procedures on court because it's only cost a fortune.
So you provide a kind of advocacy role. It's a volunteer role, mm-hmm. But you have to make clear to people that you don't have a legal background. All you're doing is
that's
providing
true.
Advice
yes.
based on your
yes.
own knowledge that's and true. Experience. And hopefully in the future, based on the knowledge that's obtained through the Professor of Fatherhood who's recently been appointed to the University of Amsterdam, who's no doubt going to be providing you with a lot of information about how to help people in these situations.
Yeah, sure.
3 years ago, you were here in the studio, as I mentioned before, and I recall back then in 2011 that you didn't have contact with your own children for a long time. Have there been any developments in that area in that time frame?
Yes, there are. That time it was at least it was about around 6 years I didn't have any contact with my children, and after my divorce and. So it took a while, but around 3 years ago, there was a little more contact with the oldest, my oldest daughter, and but just very fragile. And so now I think it was 1.5 years ago, it improved a lot more. Before that, I asked her if I could help her with her study. I know she left her mother's house, and so it was a bit easier for her to be in contact. And from that day, or from that time, actually, it improved a lot. And I wrote her a letter about that. I was really hoping we had more contact together. And now, I think it was the right moment then, and then she got in touch with me, and from that day she have a lot of contact with me, and she's part of the time living with me now. She do her internship in the country, in the city I live, so we spend a lot of time together, and it's really a great time now.
Well, that's good. We might come back and talk a little bit more about that, but at the moment we're going to have a break for some music, and the music is a little bit different on this show. The music today has been prepared by Benjamin and myself. Benjamin and I are both, in our own minds, two of the greatest musicians on the planet. So we've recorded some songs that we like, and we hope that you might like them as well. This first song is House of the Rising Sun. It's a traditional song, but most people would know the version that was recorded by the Animals and a few other bands. It features Benjamin on saxophone and blues harp, and I'm playing the guitar. House of the Rising Sun.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air with our special guest today. Ken Thompson is doing the interviewing, and Benjamin from the Netherlands is telling us about his experiences in that country, which have a special resonance for us in Australia. So back to you, Ken.
Benjamin, just before the break, you were talking about the relationship with your daughter and how you weren't able to see your daughter for a long time. And I know that you're familiar with the term parental alienation. It's a term that's used internationally. And before the interview, you were talking about that and you indicated that you believed that your daughter was perhaps a victim of parental alienation. Would you like to expand on that a little bit?
Yes, yes. In all the years, we didn't have any contact with the three of my children. And the way their mother and the new partner behaved themselves, it was... of course, I was thinking what would be the problem and how could I fix it. And then I started to get more information around this subject. And I found a book of Amy Baker, and she wrote a book about the parental alienation, and it was really an eye opener for me in that time. And but yeah, that was my thoughts about it. So I wasn't sure if it was like that for her also. So, but when I met her and we had a time to talk about these things, I showed my daughter the book of Amy Baker, and I show her a list of 15 items Amy Baker had in the book. And who all give signs of parental alienations, and she reckoned 14 of the 15 items in it. So it was very clear for me at that moment that she was really she was a victim of parental alienation, and I was very glad that she got out of it and she understand a bit of it herself.
Yeah. Do you think taking your daughter through that process helped her understand where she had been and where she'd come from and where she was now in the relationship with you and with her mother?
Yes, I think so. I think so. She, we talked a lot about all these issues, and I think not so long before we met, it was very difficult for her to give it to know where she was standing and how her relationship with me was. But after all this talks and more information around this, it's more clear for her also, and make it easier to understand what was going on in that time and how difficult it was for her as well.
Mm. Well, hopefully the new professor of fatherhood at Amsterdam University will provide a lot more information to a broad range of people about this particular issue. And in some cases, there can be little doubt that one parent is deliberately alienating the child from the other parent, but in some cases, the parent may not actually be aware of that. So I'd like to think that with the kind of research that might be done, more information might be available to help a whole range of people avoid taking their children down that path.
Yes, I think so. I think so. And it would be very interesting also to have more books like that, or translate them in more different languages, so more people can be aware of it. And I hope so.
Benjamin, this is Bill Cable back again, and it's interesting hearing you speak, because a number of the people you've mentioned have been guests on this program over the years. Amy Baker, Richard Fletcher have both been on the program. So if people would like to follow up on those authors and leaders in this area, you can always go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. So, Benjamin, I wonder, you've been to Australia, we've talked about that, you've been to Australia a number of times. Do you see an unfortunate similarity between what we experience in Australia and what you experience in the Netherlands? Is there some sort of similarity?
Yeah, what I heard and see around me here and back in Holland and in other Western countries, I think there's a lot of similarities, and unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I think the our Western way of looking at this problem is everywhere the same. It seems to be very difficult to treat the fathers the same as mothers in generally. I think in a lot of ways it went well, but when parents are difficult with each other, then we have a big problem everywhere, almost the same, I think.
Yes. And so you've got experience in Australia and the Netherlands. Have you? Do you know anything about other countries?
I think in Europe, or in other Western countries, I think it's almost the same problem, and it's still a big problem. And I think governments and should be much more aware of this problem and do something with it.
Yes.
And it's the same with ministries of justice. I think they have not enough knowledge about the problem deeper behind this, and like the alienation and things like that. It's really a bigger problem than they understand, I think. And it would help a lot if they try to focus more on the children and what's good for them than on the problem with the parents, because the children are the victim at the end.
Yes, that's the contentious point. What's in the best interest of the children? But I think that's not an easy question to answer.
Oh.
But do you think are there any experiences in Holland that you think would be beneficial for Australia to learn from? Have there been any successes that you're aware of in this whole area of parental alienation and post-separation treatment of fathers?
A lot of organizations are put effort in it to make a change. But recently we spoke to politicians about this, and we also spoke to the...
So are there some green shoots? Do you think, is there any hope of progress in, say, the Netherlands that you're aware of?
Yeah, it will go very slowly. The ombudsman we spoke to lately, and they were also recognizing that lawyers should have another point of view in all of these cases, because they have a lot of influence on the outcome of it.
Mm.
And so the ombudsman is also... willing to look at it and try to select the better lawyers, maybe who are in for the benefit of the children.
Yes. So we struggle in Australia with people even knowing that parental alienation exists. Is there an understanding in the Netherlands that the parental alienation is a real thing?
Not enough, I think. Not enough, because you should think that people will help to change the things if they are more aware of it. So I think that's the first step, make people more aware of the alienation and the effect it has on the children. And I know, like my daughter, she's understanding it now, but a lot of children never find out what's really happening.
No.
So, and they will never find the other partner. It could also be the mother in different situations.
Yes.
So they will miss one of the parents for the rest of their life and don't know what's really going on. So it's really a wrong thing.
It's unfortunate, isn't it? It seems to be all over the world that parental alienation seems to operate in very similar ways, whether it's the Netherlands, Australia, America, UK.
Yeah,
I think so. It is a big problem.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to change the attitude of the government or even in the field where I'm working. There's not enough knowledge within the police force, for example, I think, and it's not that they won't do it on purpose, but they don't understand it enough, and it should be good to get a higher level of understanding also there. So,
yes, and I think that's where you've worked. You've done a lot of work in increasing the understanding in the police force, isn't it? Because in Australia, it's a point of contact, and the police don't understand what they're doing, and it really causes a lot of problems.
Yes.
I think we would welcome your input into the Australian police services just to get some understanding of what parental alienation is.
Yes, but still in Holland, it's very difficult to get through this in the system on a higher level to educate more people in the police force and maybe even in the Ministry of Justice, prosecutors, to make them understand it better and deal with it in another way.
Yes.
So it's a long way still, but it's moving slowly, I think.
That's the good news. We might have to finish up on that positive note, Benjamin, because as usual, we seem to run out of time. But I'd like to have a special thank you to Ken Thompson, who's brought his friend Benjamin Wunderhem into the studio, and we've had this been able to talk about the situation in another country in Europe. So that's it for this week for Dads on the Air. And before we go, we're going to have another listen to Ken and Benjamin. This time they're going to be playing Riders on the Storm, an old Doors song, given a new treatment by Ken and Benjamin. Take it away. Can listen to this program or any of our other programs by going to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and we'll look forward to the pleasure of your company next week for another show on Dads on the Air.